So for the purpose of the recording, my name is Barry Adams, and it is Wednesday, November the 20th, 2019, and this is the FatherHeart.tv webcast. And I'm continuing just to talk about the the fall series here in 2019. Mark and I talked about just, you know, sharing some foundational messages that are really important to this revelation of not only receiving the Father's love, but actually learning to walk in the Father's love. And so today we're continuing with that, and I am talking about learning to live with a childlike heart. And for everybody that's on, I thank you for your kindness to me and how you always just kind of allow me to continue to kind of beat my drum as far as this revelation of a childlike heart. But to be honest, I really don't know of any other practical way to put form to learning to live in love, learning to be reparented by God, learning to be fathered by God, learning to actually come back to a place in our life where we can just discover who we are in God's eyes and just practically live as his children. I don't know of any better way to do that than to live as a with a heart of a child. And before I start, I want to read a few childlike quotes, childlike heart quotes, the necessity for it. And I haven't read these before, but these are some of the quotes that I've had. And again, if you want to look at these, I just put them up on the main page of abbaskids.com just yesterday. So if you want to actually get the actual quotes on them. But so the first one comes from our elder brother, Jesus. And he said, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. So I think that is one is the, you know, as kind of the most defining quote coming from our elder brother. But here's one from Brennan Manning. And he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But this is what he said about childlike trust. He said, childlike surrender and trust, I believe, is the defining spirit of authentic discipleship. And Oswald Chambers, for those who know who Oswald Chambers was, again, he's written some amazing books over the years. One of the most defining ones is My Utmost for His Highest, a devotional. And this is what he said. And of course, the language is a little bit more dated because it was many years ago. He said, we give credit to human wisdom when we should give credit to the divine guidance of God being exhibited through childlike people who were foolish enough to trust God's wisdom and his supernatural equipment. This one is from C.S. Lewis, and I absolutely love C.S. Lewis, and there's many, many childlike heart quotes that I could glean from C.S. Lewis, but this is one. He said, someday you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again. I really like that one. And Bill Johnson, for those who know Bill Johnson in Bethel in California, a very apostolic voice today, he said, one of the greatest challenges in life is to remain childlike as you grow up. And one of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer, I don't know if anybody has heard of A.W. Tozer, but this is what he said. He said, now as always, God discloses himself to babes and hides himself in thick darkness from the wise and prudent. And then he said, we must simplify our approach to him. Charles Finney, now this is going a blast from the past. Charles Finney, who really was one of the early kind of leaders in this revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you mean to have the Spirit, you must be childlike and yield to his influences just as yielding to air. A contemporary leader in the charismatic world, Heidi Baker, says it this way, to learn Holy Spirit's language, you have to humble yourself not to be afraid to make mistakes and become childlike. And Ravi Zacharias, if you know who Ravi Zacharias is, he's an amazing apologist in our generation. Just an incredible mind and an incredible ability to really argue or not argue, but debate with atheists and people who agnostics and things. And he said, the tragedy in growing up is not that we lose childishness in its simplicity, but that we lose childlikeness in its sublimity. So again, that's from somebody that, and then Charles Studd, C.T. Studd, again, another hero of the faith many years. He said, I realized that my life was to be one of simple childlike faith, and that my part was to trust, not to do. I was to trust in him, and he would work in me to do his good pleasure. From that time, my life was different. And this is another quote I couldn't resist putting in from Brennan Manning. And he said, heaven will be filled with five-year-olds. And I think he was referring to you and me. And Donald Miller is another author, authored a book called Blue Like Jazz. He says, I think the true litmus test for someone who has become closer to Jesus, their heart is more loving, accepting, childlike, less believing they have all the answers and believing more in him. And the last quote I want to quote before I actually just start today is from a dear friend and a huge influence on my life, a man who's gone to be with the Lord now, and that's Jack Winter. And one of the things, and Jack's said many things, but one of the things that he always, well, not always, but when I was with him and when he would minister and pray for people to receive a greater revelation of love, he would always ask them, or again, I shouldn't say always, but when I was with him, he would say, can you be a little boy or a little girl that needs to be loved? And one of the things that, you know, I truly believe, we've been walking in this revelation now for over 21 years. And many times when people receive a greater revelation of the love of the Father, you know, often the encounter with God's love comes with tears, a picture, an image sometimes, and many times it actually brings them to a place of when they were little, like there is a memory of something, or God redeems a memory, and they get in touch with this, the core identity of who they are in their hearts, and that it oftentimes that can bring a pain. I know for me personally, when Jack Winter ministered the Father's love to me over 21 years ago, it'll be 22 years in June. And he asked me, Barry, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? And he asked me, you know, tell me about your father. And before he prayed for me, when he asked me that question, I remember having a memory of my father that was incredibly painful, and one that I thought that, you know, I had forgiven him for, and that it, you know, it was sorted out. But it was like the actual memory of that pain went beyond my adult being and into the little boy that was inside of me. And in a moment, that one memory represented many other memories, and it was like a domino effect. And I became overwhelmed with this, just the disappointment of not being loved like I needed to be loved. And it was like in a twinkling of an eye, I went from being a 36-year-old man to being a five-year-old little boy in my heart. So when I began to weep, and Jack Winter asked me, he said, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? I didn't have to try at that moment. It was like there was something inside of me that was there all along. It wasn't like, see, one of the things that I want to encourage you, when we talk about a childlike heart, you know, it's not like, you know, it's something that is foreign to any of us. It's part of who we are. I recently just had a really profound time with the Lord, where I was asking him about some of these things, about how do I minister this revelation of the Father's love to, you know, and talk about a childlike heart. And I when I asked him that, I felt like he just said, just to help them remember, that the adult in us to remember their origins, remember where they came from. Because the truth is, as James Jordan says, that a little boy, a grown man is just a little boy who ate his cereal and got big. And inside each and every one of us, if you cut a tree trunk and you would look at a tree trunk, you would see growth rings of that tree. And every ring in that tree would represent a life, a year's life of that tree. And, you know, some rings would be thicker based on more nourishment. Some would be thinner based on less nourishment. But the tree is the summation of every one of those growth rings. And in the same way for you and I, we are the summation of every life experience that we've ever had. Now, oftentimes when we're little, we get hurt. And because we get hurt, it's very painful. Like when we're little, you know, every adult is massive, right? Even the kitchen counter is big. We have to reach for everything. We're helpless. And so, you know, adults are very intimidating. And our parents, you know, really, for the first 7 years of our development, our parents are like God to us. Their authority that they carry, we simply believe everything that they tell us in those early age years of development. So for many of us, that's where we got hurt. And when I say many, maybe not all of us, because there's not a perfect parent on the planet. But because of that, you know, often we want to avoid, we want to get out of childhood as soon as we can. And, you know, for me, when I look at my own life and, you know, my dad, you know, struggled with alcoholism and he struggled with anger and, you know, the way that I felt really responsible for his happiness. You know, when we'd come home from work and he would stop at the bar on the way home, we just didn't know what kind of mood he'd be in. So, you know, all you want to do is make him happy, right? So from an early age, I felt responsible for my dad's happiness, and I wanted him to notice me. So I became very, very driven and very successful and straight A's in school and did well in sports and all those things. But I never had a chance to be a little boy. I you know, from as early age as I can remember, it was like my life's pursuit was to make my dad happy. And so I never had a chance to be that little boy who needed to be loved. And so, you know, oftentimes, because when we were little, it's just not safe, right? We're hurt by our parents. We want to grow up as soon as we can so we can protect ourselves, so that we can disassociate with our childhood memories. And for some many reasons, when we have had so much pain, it's just been it's been a coping mechanism, right? So we become adults, and then we become disconnected with the growth rings when we were little. But see, the challenge that I see, or that, you know, when I see this revelation of the fatherhood of God, there is only one way that you and I can receive the Father's revelation of love, and that is as His child. You know, when we relate to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to us with a revelation of being a teacher to us in a certain area, then our heart posture is student, right? When Jesus comes as our Lord and Master, you know, our heart posture relates to Him that way. When He's bridegroom, then our heart posture is bride. There is only one way that you and I can relate to the fathering of God, and that is with a heart posture as a child, His child. You see, you know, our children, when they would come home with their friends, they could call me father because they were my children. But their friends didn't call me father. They would either call me Mr. Adams or Barry or whatever. It's only children of God that can actually call Him Father. And the more that I walk into this revelation, the more that I personally want to put form in what does it mean to live as a much loved child of Almighty God, the more it really makes sense that you know, the words that Jesus spoke in when he talked to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18. And of course you know this, right? But the thing that I want to encourage you on, either Jesus' words were true and they meant something, or they're not. Like it's like C.S. Lewis saying, either Jesus was who he says he was, or he was a nut. He was a lunatic. There's no middle ground. And so in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus' disciples are having an argument amongst themselves about who is the greatest in the kingdom. So I just want to read that. And it says, verse 1, it says, "In that hour, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Jesus called a little child to himself and set him in their midst and said, 'Most certainly I tell you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will in no way inherit the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me.'" And so when one of the things that, and again, this is a very much a core part of my life message, is this is what brings form to me. This is how life makes sense for Ann and I. Our pursuit isn't to be bigger in life. Our pursuit isn't to be stronger. Our pursuit isn't to have a more sophisticated, more professional ministry persona. Our pursuit is really to stay little. And Jack Winter used to say that we all have a choice in life, is that we can be big in our own abilities and have God's influence, our Father's influence, be small, or we can choose to be small in our hearts and have our Heavenly Father's influence to be absolutely big. It's our choice. It's how do you want to live your life? Do you want to live carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, or do you want to live with a childlike heart? And if we read that and we see what Jesus says, and it's so amazing, because when Jesus' disciples were arguing amongst themselves, the Bible says that Jesus just called a little child and set him in their midst. And some translations say he brought the little child to him. Now, when we're talking about a little child here, it was a child that needed to be brought to him. It wasn't necessarily a child that could even run to him. And the fact that the descriptor is it was a little child, is chances are it was either a baby or a little toddler. And it's in the, and so the story says that Jesus brought this little boy to himself. And he didn't go and have this incredibly long sermon illustration or descriptive sermon about childlike qualities. He just said to his disciples, "Take a look. Behold this little one." And he said to them, "Most certainly I tell you, unless you turn." And then that word "turn" is very interesting. I think the King James says, "Unless you're converted." See, I believe that we need a conversion to come into this revelation. Other descriptions say, "Unless you repent." But the word "turn" means actually to go in the opposite direction. So the first step in us just coming into this idea of change, a transformation where we go in the opposite direction, is like we go, the world system, the orphan world system, the fatherless world system says, you're on your own. You got to do it. As we say, God helps those who helps themselves. And, we have all these little sayings that we say that try to justify self-effort. And it's a dog-eat-dog world. And, you have to do everything yourself. And Jesus talks about that actually in Matthew 6. He talks in, I think, verse 24, 25. He says, "Take no thought for your life. Well, what you shall eat, what you should drink, where you shall live." He says, "Consider the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor store into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they?" Jesus is really saying here, when we are convinced of our value to God, that our Father feeds the birds of the air, he's going to look after us. He goes on to say that the flowers of the field, they don't labor or spin, yet they are clothed with a glory that is greater than all of Solomon's glory. And then he goes on to say that the Gentiles, the pagan world, the fatherless ones, spend all their time seeking clothing, provision, shelter. But don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need. And that's why we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you. You see, I truly believe that this revelation, the only way that we can really receive a revelation of the Father's love, is if we are willing to turn and open our hearts up and just be in touch with that little boy or little girl inside that just needs a dad. You see, the more that we are able to build that connection, it's not like you have to go back in time, you know, because there is a 5-year-old in you right now. There is a 3-year-old in you. And the Father, I believe, wants to pour His love into each and every one of our hearts, into every growth ring. I know I've said this, shared the story before, but I can remember I was on an A school one time, and one of the students, I think it was his 40th birthday, and he went back to where he was staying, and he was going to sleep, and he felt this wave of love come, and he asked God, "What was that?" And the Father said to him, "I'm loving the 1-year-old in you right now. Is that okay?" And he said, "Of course it is." And then another wave of love came. And he said, "What's that, Father?" And he said, "I'm loving the 2-year-old in you." And then for the rest of the night, a wave of love came for every one of his birthdays. You see, I really believe that the more that we're able to be in touch, that we can remember the little boy or the little girl that just needed to be loved. See, you were born with a beautiful sense of you were a love sponge. You were expected to be loved. God wove into your DNA a divine expectation to not only be loved, but to love other people. No baby was ever born, was sent into love school. We were all created the same way. See, because we were created in the image of God, who is love. So in our, just in our very practical DNA, in our spiritual makeup, in our body, soul, and spirit, we were created to be loved perfectly. And it's only when we, our parents who weren't loved perfectly, couldn't love us perfectly, that things started to go awry. And you know, there are many, many scientific studies that are really clear that when little children, especially babies, do not receive that tactile love, that touch love, that affection, that it can affect their emotions, it can affect their physical health, and if it's severe enough, if there's an absence of love, that little babies can even die as a result of not being loved. You see, I truly believe that the more that you and I are able to be able to reconnect with the little boy or little girl that's inside of us, the more that we will allow, that we will be awakened to, that we are really just little boys and little girls who ate our cereal and got big. And Jesus says, unless you turn, unless you change, unless you are converted, unless you repent, you go in the opposite direction. And then he says, and become as little children. He doesn't say, you know, like it's copying little children. There is, in this transformation process, there is a becoming that we actually in our hearts, and I really believe this is, it's spiritually discerned. It's not... One of the, I think, the challenges that we can, that it's difficult sometimes if we try to understand this with an adult mindset, right? And say, okay, how do I become childlike again? You know, I don't want to be childish. No, it's not about being childish, because childishness is immaturity, but childlikeness is the ultimate maturity. That's the kingdom of maturity in which Jesus lived himself. You know, he said the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. But I really believe that the more that you and I are able to come into a revelation that he really is our Father, no matter how old we are, you know, we could be 95 years of age, but the Ancient of Days, when he still sees us, he sees the little boy or the little girl in our hearts. You know, I remember a time when our oldest daughter got married, and she made me promise her before I walked her down the aisle that she said, don't cry. Because if you start crying, I'm going to start crying, and I'm going to waste all the money I spent on this makeup. And so she said, don't cry. And I promised her I wouldn't. And then we were standing outside of the sanctuary where I was going to walk her down, and then all of a sudden the double doors closed because everybody was in, and then they were going to open again. And when the double doors closed, on the one side was a picture of our future son-in-law, Nick, as a little boy, and a big poster size. And then the other side was a picture of our oldest daughter, Kristen. And I think she was 6 or 8 months old, and it was my favorite picture of her in a red velvet dress. And so this is, you know, like 3 feet, you know, this big picture, and it's looking me right in the face. And it's my, you know, she's this glorious bride, you know, she's, you know, a beautiful woman, young woman getting ready to get married. But when I saw this picture of this little baby in a toddler, or not even a toddler, a baby in a red velvet dress, it was like her entire life passed before my eyes. And even though she was this beautiful grown-up woman, in my heart as a father, when I saw her, that was what I saw, is that little beautiful little girl in a red velvet dress. And the Lord had mercy on me because my daughter was talking to somebody else, and I just turned around and I wailed. I just cried. Like, I just had the quickest cry to get it out of my system. And then I turned away, and she didn't. I kind of sorted myself out, and then she had no idea what had happened until afterwards. You see, I truly believe that, you know, when the Father looks at you and he looks at me, he doesn't see the competent, in the sense of the old you, the adult you, that he actually, when he looks at you, he actually sees the little boy or little girl. Because he sees us through the lens of eternity. He sees us through this place of being a father to us. And, you know, and that's what actually moves his heart. And in Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, this is how God sees Israel. Right, and he says, this is God speaking to Israel. He says, listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. See, I truly believe that when the Father sees you, he doesn't see this big, competent adult. He sees, because he sees through eternity. He knew you before you were conceived. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He was there the day you were born. The Bible says that we were chosen to be in Christ before the foundation of the earth. You see, God has been so intimately involved in your life, in my life, all through eternity, and he loves us with a love that will never stop. You know, when in Jeremiah 31:3, when God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, that means that there was never a time in all of eternity when you weren't loved. And when he sees you, he doesn't see the big you. He sees the little you. He sees the you that was undefiled in the moment of your birth. He gave you a trusting heart. He gave you the ability to believe. He gave you this incredible childlike faith. You see, we don't learn to trust, we learn to mistrust. We don't learn to receive love, we learn to protect our hearts from unlove. And as we continue to grow, all of the beautiful childlike attributes that were in you, that were woven in your DNA, God's design was that your mom and your dad would have written the words that he wanted them to speak over you, that you are loved, you are beautiful, you are accepted, you are worthy, you are unique, and you know, things that would speak to your purpose and your destiny and your sense of well-being. Those were the things that the Father always desired for you and I to experience from our parents. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve, and every generation since then, hurting people have hurt people, and so we have all grown up disfigured in some way, shape, or form, that we are not the blank canvas that was meant to be written on by love has now been distorted, and we have compensated. We have had coping mechanisms just to try to manage life. But when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he made a way for a new birth, you see, I truly believe the more that I think about just the earth-shaking consequences of the new birth. In evangelical circles, we have no problem with John 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and says, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. We understand that, but it seems like we have this understanding and this theology that says that we are born into the kingdom of God. We come in as babes, but then because of there's so much work in the kingdom to do, we're supposed to grow up real quickly. We're supposed to get to it and get the job done. And there seems to be no even breathing room to be little anymore. You see, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about this, he says, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. I truly believe Nicodemus, who was one of the leaders of Israel, when he responded to him and said, well, how can I, as an adult, grow back into my mother's womb? Like, he was thinking with an intellectual adult mindset to a spiritual principle. And of course, Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And, you know, and Jesus was perplexed. He said, you're one of the leaders of Israel and you don't get this. You see, when Jesus said in Matthew 18, you know, that the kingdom, you know, unless you change and become like little children, you're going to miss the kingdom. If we look at that with an adult mindset, with a grown-up mindset, with an intellect that tries to grasp things that only the Spirit can give us, you know, it won't make any sense. But the more that the revelation of the Father heart of God, the loving God who has fathered you, like he entrusted you and I to our parents, but he is our true Father. It says in Hebrews 12 that he is the Father of our spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 6:18, he says, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, declares the Lord Almighty. You see, his promise to you and I is that he wants to father us. And if we're adults, if we're grown up, if we're self-sufficient, if we're independent, if we have disconnected ourselves from the need to be fathered, the need to be mothered, the need to be parented by God himself, we will try in our own ability to try to manage life. And I will guarantee you, at least from my own life experience, it doesn't work out too well. Because I am limited by my own strength. I can be strong as much as I have strength. But the more that we realize that we are to be strong in the Lord's might and his mighty power, the more we realize it's never been about our strength. It's never been about our abilities. It's never been about our discipline and our ability to apprehend and hold and contend and fight for things. We're just his kids. And I believe, you know, the more I just reflect on this revelation and what is the implications of learning to live with a childlike heart, the more that I really begin to see that I'm not even sure if we as kind of the bigger church, the evangelical church, have really come to grips with the life-changing impact of the new birth. See, the Bible says in 1 John that we have the Father's seed. The Bible says his seed remains in us. And the Greek word for seed there is sperma. You and I carry the seed, the sperm of God. And in John 1, verse 12 and 13, John is writing, he goes, and he's talking about Jesus coming and receiving Jesus. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, not born of a husband's will, but born of God himself. You see, Peter says we are partakers of the divine nature. You see, the more that you and I come into the revelation that Almighty God, Yahweh, is our dad, the more that we allow that revelation to come into that, not only the adult mindset that we have, but come and that we can trust his love, that we can open our hearts up to his love, and that we can allow his love to come and bring healing into the 2-year-old in us, and the 3-year-old in us, and the 5-year-old, and that the love of God comes and starts to bring wholeness and restoration and clean, that we have this beautiful blank canvas again where we can learn how to be reparented with God being our Father. It changes everything. At least it is for Ann and I. It's like, this is the only way that life has been able to make sense to us. Jack Winter used to say, the smaller that we can become, the bigger that God can become in our life. You see, God loves us either way. If I want to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, and believe me, I've tried. I know what this means. As a little boy trying to please an alcoholic father, I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I think one of the reasons why I honestly so value this revelation of the love of God and the ability for me to return, to change and to become little again. It's because when I was little, I never had a chance to be small. Because I was already carrying adult-sized responsibilities that God never intended for me to experience. And so now, as we continue to walk out this life, Ann and I, honestly, the only way life makes sense is for us to stay little. And I'm not saying that there's not a tendency to try to be big. I just find that any time that I try to run with the big boys, I get into trouble. I don't know about you. Maybe you're different than me. But when I try to be confident, when I try to be respected, when I try to find an affirmation in an adult grown-up world system, I lose that sense of childlike awe, the childlike wonder, the childlike simplicity, the childlike ability to sleep through storms, the childlike playfulness, and I go to a place where I start carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. See, you can ask my wife, and I'm not sure she's on the webcast now, but she was earlier, but in this revelation of the Father's love and this ministry message that we've had with the Father's love letter that has gone all over the world and it's been translated in over 100 languages. And I remember in the early days, I was completely overwhelmed with the scope of the vision and the requests that were coming in. And there were days, you know, when I would start to become an adult again, when I would start carrying the adult-sized burdens and responsibilities of a ministry and with a vision to see the love letter delivered to every person on the planet. You know, I would just start, you know, kind of my, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, I would start to hunch over because I would have this incredible burden. It was only when I reminded myself, I'm just little. I can't run with the big boys. I am just a little boy with a really big dad. It was like that's when I could just cast every care onto my Father's big, strong shoulders because I know that He cared for me. You see, I truly believe that this revelation of the Father heart of God is best enjoyed. It's best applied when we can learn and from at a heart level what it means to change and become like little children again. It's interesting that when we think of the Apostle Paul, and he was, most likely the greatest, certainly the most zealous apostle who has ever lived. And he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. In zeal, he was beyond zeal for all his contemporaries. And then he comes into this revelation of Christ crucified, and he becomes born again into the kingdom of God. Now, this is a guy who had a pedigree that if there's anybody that could flaunt it, who could show their spiritual muscles, who could maybe what we would think be very confident and adult and grown up in the way that he communicated. If there's anybody who could certainly in the New Testament time, it would be Paul. But this is what Paul said. Now, it's very, very subtle and it's very easy to miss. But this is Paul talking. This is his letter to the Thessalonians church in 1 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 5, he talks about how he actually came to the Thessalonian church. And he says, we know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Now think about that for a second. You know, Paul says when we came to you, we didn't come to you with this apostolic, you know, bravado. We came to you as little kids, just like young children among you. You see, I truly believe the more that we are able to open our hearts up to the love of the Father. You see, Creator is what God does But Father is who he is. It's the very essence of his being. And it's the only way that you and I can actually connect to him as Father is to posture ourselves as his children. And Jesus said that it is not, you know, the bold and the beautiful in the world system that are great, but it is little children. And I'm just going to read, again, this is another passage of Scripture, and this is from Matthew chapter 11. And this is Jesus praying to his Father. And, you know, we're all familiar with this, but if we really take this to heart, you know, it will absolutely transform our understanding of what the kingdom is. You see, if we put on a kingdom conference today and said, okay, the kingdom of God is in full display, right? Where the kingdom's coming, your kingdom come, the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there'd probably be a lineup of people who would want to be a part of that. And rightly so. You know, we're kingdom people. Jesus talked about the kingdom more than anything else. But who does the kingdom belong to? Who are the greatest in the kingdom? How do we receive the kingdom? Well, in Matthew 11, Jesus is talking to his Father. And in verse 25, he says this, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, things of the kingdom, from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. See, I remember hearing a quote from a Christian statesman that said, it's amazing how we spend all our lives trying to be wise and learned. Yet Jesus says that the Father intentionally hides the things of the kingdom from the wise and the learned, and he reveals them to little babes. And it's interesting, the little children, the Greek word there, that Jesus says that the Father delights to reveal the kingdom to is untaught, unskilled babies. You see, if we had a kingdom conference, what draws us to that? Is it the signs, the wonders, the demonstration of power, the prophetic? All those things are wonderful as long as they rest on the true revelation of love, of the true revelation of the kingdom. And my encouragement to you today is that maybe, you know, you would ask the Father to speak to you about these things. And it maybe we all need a recalibration of what the kingdom is and who's the greatest in the kingdom. And I mean, Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. These words, I don't think, are subject to interpretation. But it's like we say, like, he sets the baseline of kingdom greatness. He sets the baseline for how revelation is received is through little babies. Another place Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes, you've perfected praise. And even worship is perfected through little babies. So how do we receive this kingdom? Well, in Luke 18, verse 15, Jesus really speaks about this very practically. He says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the little children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. See, when I think of the kingdom of God, I asked the Lord, you know, this is last year, I was praying and I asked the Lord, what is our ministry? You know, because my heart is to share the Father's love and his amazing kindness, but it's through the lens of learning to be little again. And the Lord said to me, Barry, you have an entry-level ministry. You know, and when we think of entry-level, we think of the entry-level jobs. You know, it's kind of the 101. It's the foundation. But he said, the entry that you're bringing people into is my kingdom, and that's immeasurable. You see, the kingdom that you and I are called to inherit, to live in, to enjoy, all the benefits of the kingdom, is vaster. It's too big for the adult mindset, I believe. I believe it's only the simplistic, awe-filled heart of a little child that can grasp it. But while the kingdom is vast, I truly believe the door, our each and every one of our doors into that kingdom, is very small. It's so small, in fact, that only a little child can enter it. But when we enter it, then we get to enjoy the incredible vastness of it. You see, Jesus says that we need to receive the kingdom just like a little child would. How does a little child receive a present, a birthday gift, a Christmas gift? They have no pride. They have no sense of suspicion. They just have open hearts to receive everything that will be given to them. And so my prayer today is that you and I would be able to walk in this revelation of the Father's love, that we would open our hearts up to His love in a greater ways, that we would allow Him to love the one-year-old in us and the two-year-old and the three-year-old, and that we would be able to actually bring a wholeness and a restoration to our whole being, and so that we would learn to be reparented by God, that we would learn what it means that we don't have to worry about provision, that we don't have to worry about protection, we don't have to worry about the future, we don't have to be anxious about anything, that we can cast every care onto His big strong shoulders because He cares for us. See, the smaller that we can become, I truly believe, the bigger that He can become on our behalf. And I just want to just put the music on, and I just want to pray. I just want to pray that the Father would just come by His Spirit now in a way that would just blow our minds, that would just exceed our wildest dreams. And maybe you're tired today. Maybe you're tired of carrying adult weights on your shoulders. Maybe you're tired of being burned out and feeling fearful. And I just really believe the Father is just saying to you today, you don't have to do that. You can just come to me. Jesus said in Matthew 11, after He said that the Father delights to reveal the kingdom to little children, He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I truly believe today that there is a one-year-old in you that needs to be loved. There's a five-year-old in you that needs to be loved. And I truly believe that the more that we understand that God is Father, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and that love He wants to be able to come and bring healing to every woundedness area of brokenness, and reparent us so that we could begin to live on planet Earth as sons and daughters to Yahweh, where the Abba cry would come, Abba, you really are my Father. And we know that we are God's children and we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Jesus on planet Earth, and that we could cast every care onto His big strong shoulders and begin to live with wide-eyed, childlike wonder and awe and simplicity and joy, and that we would be able to fulfill the destiny that He planned for us, that comes to us through inheritance. You see, I truly believe that everything that our children have is theirs through inheritance. In the same way, everything that we have is through the inheritance that we have of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to fight for it. It's yours through your birthright. It's, you know, a little baby who's in line to be king is an heir of the throne even as a little baby. They didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. It was just through birthright. So, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that You would just awaken in us, help us to remember the little child that is alive and well inside each and every one of us. Father, would you help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to change, to turn, be converted, to become little again in our hearts so that we could live on planet Earth with the revelation that Almighty God is our Abba. That Abba cry would begin to resound in our being, in the very core of our being, Lord, and that we'd go, Abba. And that, Father, that we would know that you are our provider, you are our protector, and that we can just learn to be parented by you, reparented by you, and that you would call into life and into destiny and the purpose, everything that you determined for us before you created the foundation of the earth, because we are your workmanship, your masterpiece, created to do the good works that you prepared in Christ in advance for us to do. Father, thank you that you are a good dad. Would you just bring light to this to show us, Father, how important it is and how valuable it is for us to turn and become like little children again. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Amen.